Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Sexual abuse does terrible damage. Relationships all through life suffer due to early experiences children should never have had. Today, hope for all who struggle with sexual abuse, and also hope for those doing the abusing. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, as a pastor, have you had to deal with the aftermath of sexual abuse?
Yes, of course, Dave, I've had to deal with that. But I want to emphasize that oftentimes the healing of those experiences is slow. Sometimes the healing has setbacks. But I want to always give people hope. It can be better. And the other part about the good news is simply this, that even if you don't have everything together in life, even if you are still struggling, if you're a believer, you are loved by God, you can be used by God. I am so glad, and of course I've emphasized this frequently in my own life and in the lives of others, that we don't have to be perfect in order for God to use us. But these messages that we are beginning today all have to do with hope. They point toward Jesus Christ, and they help us to understand that no matter the depth of the pain, God is there to help us. He not only throws us a life preserver, He gets into the murky water with us, scoops us up, and gives us hope. So let's listen carefully. So how are you all doing? Everybody all right? You ready for what God might teach you today? Do you have a heart that is open to Him? Today I begin the message with a quiz that you can answer for yourself. Do you find personal relationships difficult? You long for intimacy but are afraid when you get it? When your weaknesses are pointed out, do you become defensive, angry, blaming others, and you pull away from anyone who confronts your issues? Are you fearful of getting close to people because you don't trust them? And do you find it difficult to trust God? Do you have unfulfilled emotional needs that no one seems to be able to fill? Have you struggled with eating disorders? Are you obsessed with exercise or diet control? Have you experienced many sexual struggles, sexual identity confusion, fear of the opposite sex, same-sex attraction, or sexual obsessions? Are you angry with yourself and use anger to push others away? Have you wrestled with self-destructive behaviors such as slashing your wrists, carving your skin, or pulling out your hair? Do you wrestle with control issues, always wanting to control the people and circumstances next to you? Do you have a problem with anger, rage, and intense hostility? Are you living with a secret and you're afraid somebody will find it out? Do you struggle with dissociative disorder, previously known as multiple personality disorder? Are you aware of an evil presence that brings distraction, confusion, hopelessness? If you have answered yes to one or more of those questions, it is possible that you were abused as a child, probably sexually abused. Recently, my wife and I were with some parents, wonderful Christians in Christian work. They told us their story. Their oldest daughter is having a lesbian lifestyle. How did that happen? Well, years later, far after the abuse occurred, it was discovered that an aunt of theirs had sexually abused all of their daughters, including 14 or 15 other nieces and nephews. The other daughters did not go into lesbianism, but they struggle with intimacy in marriage, and they've got all kinds of issues. But the parents didn't know about it till years later. Another story of a young man in a Christian school, and he's going to stay with one of the families in the school, and the parents think it's a great idea because they have kids that are his own age. He doesn't want to go there. Parents go on vacation. No, no, you're going to stay there. He cries. But he doesn't tell them why. He's being abused by the father of that home. That, of course, caused his life to spin out of control, attempted suicide, homosexuality, and other things that he struggles with. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, is sexual abuse on the rise? The answer is yes, for a number of reasons. First of all, the proliferation of pornography, but also the broken homes of our society. You have blended families, and now you have stepsisters and stepbrothers who look at each other differently. And of course, even within blood families, you find sexual abuse of various kinds. And so that's the world in which we live. Children that are vulnerable because, you know, they have no one to pay attention to them, they are very vulnerable because they might like the attention even though it is destructive attention. And so it is as our homes are being broken up and you have stepfathers abusing stepdaughters. We live in a world where it is almost everywhere. You see, sexual abuse distorts our view of sexuality, where everything then is encased in shame. And there's no understanding to bring wholeness to the situation. It encourages promiscuity because a girl who is sexually molested is twice as likely to become pregnant before marriage. And there are reasons for that. You can connect your own dots. And so today's message is dealing with this very important topic. And by the way, why didn't the children tell? Well, the answer is, number one, they thought to themselves, probably, if we went to mom and dad and said, do you know what my uncle is doing? Mom and dad might not have believed them, unfortunately. Parents, I need to say something to you with clarity that I hope you never forget. If your child even makes a suggestion that something improper is going on, you had better take it seriously. I know that there have been instances where there have been false accusations, oftentimes because children have been asked questions in an improper way, but you must take what a child is saying. They usually do not make up their stories. Parents, listen. You must take every child that is 5 or 6 years old, and once they begin to be with others, and say to them, if anybody ever touches you improperly, and then you can perhaps go into some detail depending on the age of the child, you come to us. If they threaten you, you come to us immediately. Don't walk, you run, and we will welcome you and accept you and love you and deal with the issue. Every child needs to be taught that in today's world, where you have sexual predators roaming our streets and in our homes. They have to be taught that. Another reason, of course, is guilt. They may feel guilty. Maybe they enjoyed it. There might be some satisfaction that comes to them as a result of all of this stimulation. Thinking of a young woman who was abused by her grandfather. He introduced her to sexuality, but later on, you know, she enjoyed it, and so, of course, he blamed her for it. You have to understand the profile of an abuser. And I'll give you more details about that next time in the second message in the series, even though it is so critical to understand right here that there is hope for abusers too, as we shall learn in this message and in the next one. And so what we need to do is to realize that God has to have an answer for this, and he does. There's only one passage I want you to turn to today, and it is Psalm 147. Psalm 147, what a beautiful promise that is thrown into God's word. I say thrown, it shows up here in Psalm 147. It's talking about the exiles of Jerusalem. And it says in verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. And now notice this. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. What does that have to do with the binding up of your wounds? The psalmist is emphasizing the fact that we're dealing with a God who can do a lot of impossible things. And if God knows stars and names them, do you think he's forgotten your name, your address, and what happened to you? Not a chance. And so when I go through this message today, I want you to know that you can invite God to go into dark places with you. You don't have to go alone. Because the Bible says that the love of God is ever with us, and nothing can separate us from His love, even the things that were so maliciously and directly done against you by those who should have been protecting you. You can go to dark places with God. Now I need to warn you that when God binds up our wounds and when He heals our wounds and binds them up, He also has to touch our wounds if He's going to bind them. Some of you are going to find this message difficult. Some of you will want to leave. I have no doubt you'll want to stand up and say, I can't take this. I encourage you not to. But if you have to cry, you can just begin to cry where you are if you cry quietly. If the people next to you don't understand, you bring them to me later and I'll straighten them out on a few things, okay? Let's make that deal. We're going to be very relaxed today. We're going to let the Holy Spirit of God do whatever the Holy Spirit of God wants to do. And so it is important. Some of you, of course, your abuse has been your calling card. It has justified your anger, your control of others. Having been sinned against, it has justified your sin against others. And you say, I might not be ready to give this up. I am being identified by my abuse, and I prefer that identity. If that's you, I want you to listen to this message because I'd love to convince you otherwise, but actually, I can't force you to do anything. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the path that you need to follow, but I can't make you follow it. And you can't follow it just because you listen to this message, however important the message is. You're going to have to follow it beyond this message and in ways that I shall outline. But in the end, I pray for your wholeness. I pray that captives shall be set free. Those of you who are dealing even with demonic issues of anger and control and blaming and vengeance, we want God to set you free too. As a matter of fact, we believe that today He's going to. You came to church and thought it would just be an ordinary day. You didn't know that God had a surprise for you when you walked in here this morning. Now, here's what we're going to do. After the message, I'm going to be given an invitation for those of you who would like to have a little bit more instruction from me. I'm going to counsel you as a group. And then we have some prayer partners prepared who are willing to pray with you, and I shall explain that a little later on. What's necessary for you to know is that nobody is forced to do anything here. Some of you say, there's no way that I can go forward in being to be prayed for. We understand that. But there are others of you, you might say to yourself, Pastor Luther, I've just been waiting for this chance to finally have some further counseling and also to simply have an atmosphere, a safe atmosphere, where I can pray, because that's what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do if you come forward. So you be thinking in this message as to whether or not you want to be among those for whom we will have some special instruction and prayer. And of course, even though I'm talking about sexual abuse, some of you are dealing with other issues. You're recovering from infidelity in your marriage, or maybe it wasn't sexual abuse, but it was verbal and physical abuse. In a sense, we all have to follow the same path. Don't we? Are you ready for the journey? You ready for the journey? Do you want God today to set you free? Father, do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, in the step in the journey, the past must be acknowledged. The past must be acknowledged. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, why? Let bygones be bygones. Well, that's understandable, but if your past is intruding into your relationships, if you find yourself being angry and defensive and perhaps maybe an abuser because you were abused, you had better face up to what happened to you. After all, it is the truth that sets you free and not a false reality that you're living as if to say this wasn't serious. Of course it was serious. Some of you know how serious it really was. And so what you need to do is to challenge your past. You need to walk in there with God and say, all right, once and for all, I'm going to stare down and find out what happened and deal with what happened. You know, you're only as neurotic as your darkest secrets. And if there's a dark part of you where the Holy Spirit of God has never been allowed to enter, I know that He indwells you as a Christian, but you have said to yourself, there's a dark part of me and I don't want to have to deal with it. I'm saying it's time to shed light on that dark part, because light brings healing. Somebody has said that darkness produces good mushrooms, but not very good flowers. And I want your soul to be producing flowers and not being caught up in simply the darkness that you have. And the truth and the light makes you free. If you walk in the light as He is in the light. Now there's something that all of us need to do, and especially those whose past continues to haunt them and define them. And by the way, for many of you, when I talk about these descriptions, you don't get it, because you don't know how difficult you are to live with, do you? Those around you might, but you have justified it, you have given explanation for it, and you're perfectly fine, thank you. But maybe the Holy Spirit will show you what I need to learn. I'm not fine, you're not fine. I'm not okay, you're not okay. God is okay, and He's going to help all of us become better okay. Is that okay? So you have to acknowledge the past. You have to challenge that. Secondly, you mourn the loss. You mourn the loss. You see, when a child has been abused, the child basically shuts down his or her emotions. They just go on autopilot. And as a result, they need to feel again. They need to be able to feel again and not just simply be a robot going through emotions, because they were not allowed to express their emotions as a child. Even if they were caught crying, they might be beaten. One of the things that mourning does, and Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." One of the things that mourning does is it puts you back in touch with reality and your feelings. Somebody said to me that one of the problems with an abused child is there's no place for him or her to cry. There's no place for them to cry. And they need to be able to cry. And you, even as an adult, need to be able to cry. Here's what I find when I read the Psalms, and I encourage you to read them often. Oftentimes, David will complain to God, I mean very honestly. He'll just let it all hang out. "God, where are you? I need you. Things are so bad. Why don't you show up for me?" He'll just pour out his soul, and he'll just lay it all out. And at the end of the psalm, he says, "Nevertheless, I will still hope in thee." You're saying, where in the world does that come from? My friend, grief does two things. First of all, it reminds us that there are some scars that will never be taken away permanently until we get to heaven. Grief reminds us of that, and that's why we cry over what has been done and it can't be undone. But there's something else that grief does, and that is it gives us hope. And if there's no way for you to really express your grief and to pour out your soul before God, read the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is a book that was written by Jeremiah. It is filled with tears over the destruction of Jerusalem. I wish I had time this morning to take you there and to show you how all of his innards are spilled out there in his tears. There's nothing wrong with grieving the loss. You lose an arm, you grieve. You lose your childhood, you grieve. Grieve over what could have been. Don't be afraid of grief. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Third, and this is absolutely crucial. Of course, everything that I'm saying today is crucial. But third, you must understand grace. You must understand grace. Now, I'm going to speak to those of you who were abused. This is your tendency. Your tendency is to so focus on the sins of others that you overlook your own. And no matter how your sins might be pointed out, you're continually saying, "Yeah, but I didn't do that." And so your focus is on somebody else's sin. At this point, I'm talking about your own, because we are all sinners. And if you have been sinning against others because you've been sinned against, you and I have a lot to forgive. I have a lot that God has to forgive. And I suspect that you do too.
Well, I certainly hope that my comments are not interpreted to mean that abusers should not be called into account. Of course they should be. But at the same time, what I want to emphasize is that those who are abused really do have to give up their bitterness and their vengeance. I think that that is necessary for healing. But at the same time, healing might be slow, and that's why it is that we need to be patient, we need to be understanding, and we need to do all that we possibly can to explain to people that God is indeed a God of grace. We're making these messages available for you because we believe that some of you will want to listen to them again and again. Share them with your friends. The title of the series, Let God Redeem Your Story. No matter what you've gone through, God is able to redeem it. God is able to use it for some good, whether or not we recognize all that good or not. And God is in the business of healing broken hearts. For a gift of any amount, this series can be yours. Simply go to rtwoffer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. We here at Running to Win are deeply committed to help all who listen make it successfully to the finish line. I want to thank the many of you who are helping us to do that with your prayers, with your sacrificial gifts. We do not take these things for granted. At the same time, we recognize that there are people who have fallen down, and we are here to help pick them up.
Time now for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. A famous prophecy in the book of Isaiah prompted today's question from a listener named Yolanda. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. If the Bible says that, why do so many people still get sick and die?
Yes, Yolanda, we will all get sick and die. Of that we can be certain. Unless we have the privilege of living until Jesus Christ returns, we will all get sick and die. When the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed, it's very clear that he's talking about spiritual healing. Our souls are healed. But think about this, Yolanda. Even our souls are not completely healed, are they? Because we still struggle with sin. The fact is that the Bible does, in the atonement, the Bible does teach Jesus Christ died for us, body, soul, and spirit. But we can't enter into those blessings until after the resurrection. When we get our resurrection bodies, at last we will not die. For example, the Bible says that Jesus came to demolish death and abolish it, but he hasn't abolished it, has he? As you walk through a cemetery, you know that death is ever with us, and Christians die. We all die. All right, bottom line, let me be clear. Yes, the promises of God are there for us. Healing is in the atonement, but we don't enter into it until after we've died and receive our permanent bodies.
Thank you, Yolanda, for your question. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for your answer. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When the young are sexually abused, psychological scars are left that may never heal. One common experience is grief, that gnawing sadness that's always just below the surface. Next time on Running to Win, more about the scars left by sexual abuse and the healing God can provide. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.